Thank you, Jack, for reading our scripture from Paul. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Well, this week in the United States, we celebrated perhaps one of the most bizarre holidays in North America, Groundhog Day. Every February 2nd, dating back to 1886, the citizens of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, wait to see if the infamous Punxsutawney Phil will see his shadow or not. The myth is that if he sees his shadow, there will be 6 more weeks of winter, and if not, an early spring. This year, he saw his shadow, which really explains the frigid temperatures we're seeing this weekend. But perhaps more famous than the celebration has been the movie Groundhog Day, starring Bill Murray, where Murray plays a cynical weatherman by the name of Phil Connors. And he's assigned to cover the Groundhog Day festivities in Punxsutawney. So he goes to the city, he gets the job done, records his piece for the local news, and then he goes to bed. But when Phil Connors wakes up the next day, he discovers something odd. It is Groundhog Day all over again. Everything about that day is identical. The people he meets, the music on the radio, even the questions on Jeopardy are the same. It was odd, but, you know, he goes through that day, goes to bed, and then he wakes up the next day, and again, if you've seen the movie, it's Groundhog Day again. And he's in this cycle every day he wakes up, and he's just replaying that day over and over. But no one else seems to remember this. The funny part of the movie is when Phil realizes that he can do whatever he wants in his day. Because every night it is wiped clean. It is total freedom, no consequences. At breakfast, he's surrounded by donuts, bacon, and pancakes because he can eat anything, and the next day, poof, just goes away. Doesn't that sound great? There's one part of the movie where Connors, in a comedic way, robs a bank because he has perfectly timed when the money will be transferred to an armored vehicle and when the security guards will look at another object, and he can sneak in and take money, and he has all the money that he needs. So he can do whatever he wants. Total freedom. As a viewer, we are invited to think about this world. What would we do? Totally free, no consequences. But as the weatherman Phil Connors will confront, would such a world hold any meaning or purpose for our existence? In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul would say no. For Paul, true freedom is living and proclaiming the good news as it was revealed through Christ. Paul says in verse 19, "For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a servant to all." He is free, yet bound to serve. To live the gospel is not following one's will, but only in serving Christ as Christ served others. Now, the church in Corinth was struggling to grasp this concept, which was the reason for Paul's letter. The church was, to put it politely, dysfunctional. You see, Corinth was an urban center. It was rich in diversity, different languages and beliefs, with both wealthy and those who are poor. And by all accounts, the church Paul planted reflected the diversity of that city. But after Paul left to establish other churches, members in Corinth began creating little cliques. They had these exclusive groups within the church, and they got together, and they're figuring out who are the true Christians in our community, and they decided what behavior is immoral or unchristian. And we see Paul address one of these immoral behaviors in chapter 8, where one of those cliques thought it was immoral for church members to eat meat that was sacrificed at pagan rituals. But Paul knew the condition of some of the members of the church who didn't have a lot of money. Paul also knew that this meat was more affordable and available in the marketplace. It was out of necessity that certain members had to purchase meat from pagan rituals. So Paul, from the perspective of the hungry, taught them, saying that food does not harm our relationship with God. This is one of many issues Paul will address in this letter. But left to their own freedom, the church became a group of individuals imposing their wills and rules on others, with little regard for the gospel. So 1 Corinthians is Paul's pastoral letter to restore communal care and remind them what freedom in Christ looks like in practice. When reading this passage, I can't help but think Paul's letter may be intended for the church these days. That is, the universal church, especially in the U.S., The word that comes to mind may be dysfunctional. Many churches spend their energy in deciding who is worthy or who is not worthy, saved or not saved, who is really Christian and who is not, who does God love, who does God hate, what is the right way to do worship, what is the only way to do communion. It is not surprising why every mainline Christian denomination is losing members, and why younger generations are skeptic of church as an institution. Because the pervasive attitude is that church tends to be too pious, too righteous, and, to put it frankly, a social club. Churches say God loves all, but then excludes people based on their gender or their sexual orientation. Churches say Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, but excludes certain poor from resources because they feel they did not earn the right to have food or housing. We can see how the messaging is confusing, even inauthentic. And Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, reminds us that by God's grace, they have been freed, and that they are to live that grace by extending it to all in Christ's service. This is the authentic living, not self-serving, but a self-giving. And so we come back to verse 19. Paul says, "For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a servant to all." And then Paul gives an example of how he lives this out in his faith life. And he says, "To the Jews, I became as a Jew. To those outside the law, I became as those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak." Paul reports that two things happen whenever he became another. First, in becoming others, he was able to affirm them, demonstrate that God meets them where they are. Paul's word for that is saved. Becoming the other has tremendous power with the other. Second, Paul reports that he not only gives good news, but receives it himself. It is a mutual affirmation for every person involved, because this news is good for everyone. Imagine if we spent more time living out this gospel. What would it mean for our world? What would it look like if we became others? At a previous church I served, there was a youth that had come out as transgender, which means that the gender they identified did not correspond to the sex that was given to them at birth. This happened before I arrived, but the family was concerned about attending the church. Would people really accept their daughter? Truly love her and welcome her, knowing that she is no longer a he, but identifies 100% as she. The family made the decision to go somewhere else because members of the church had made it clear that they would not welcome them and that it was unchristian, which sounds a little like the church in Corinth. So now we fast forward a couple years. The mother of that daughter has written a book about her journey as a parent and her daughter's journey about identity. She was on a book tour in the area, and after some encouragement from the senior pastor I worked with, she decided to do a book talk at the church. Still technically a member, she opened up about how at first it was difficult to be a parent of a transgendered youth. She confessed that she didn't know what it meant to be transgendered and was nervous for her child's safety. She explained that she spent nights unsure of what to do. She cried a lot, and she sought out help. Until one day, it just clicked. She loves her daughter. She loves all of her, and that was all that mattered. She was moved not only to understand her daughter, but she became her daughter, to see the world through her eyes. And it changed her. The mother became an activist, advocating for transgender rights and anti-discrimination laws that affected people like her daughter. She began a support group for parents who are going through the transition, helping them see the blessings of their children and the gift that they are to the world. Through her book talk, members of the church began to see through her eyes as a mother, and more importantly, through the eyes of her daughter. This is the good news Paul is teaching his church in Corinth. Becoming the other, identifying with their needs. So total freedom, Paul will say, is that in Christ we must go with people, that we must serve and identify with those who are suffering, identify with their pain, identify with what they're going through. And that leads to life. Imagine today, becoming those parents with 5 children who are just laid off from their job due to COVID. Just imagine becoming one of the thousands of Hondurians who, as we worship, are walking north to escape violence and climate change disaster in their homeland. Imagine becoming the mother of a black child, having to teach them that their skin color causes fear in others and how they need to conduct themselves differently than their white friends. Just imagine if we became another. How would we use our stimulus checks if we already had enough in the bank? How would we use our voice in our democracy to make sure it was safe for all people to live life safe and to prosper? How would we be the church, live authentically as Christ, where our words matched our actions? With Paul's words in the back of our mind. For I am free with respect to all. I have made myself a servant to all. In the movie Groundhog Day, Phil Connors realizes that living for himself is unfulfilling. There is no point to it at all. So he changes his way, and he begins living each day not for himself, but for others. He begins helping people, and because he knows what's going to happen every day, he is always conveniently in the right place. Every day he saves the same boy from falling out of the tree. Every day he does the Heimlich maneuver on the same gentleman at the restaurant and saves his life. Every day he buys dinner for a homeless man and learns his story and can tell him who he is. At the end of that day where he does everything in his power for others, he says, "No matter what happens tomorrow or the rest of my life, I am happy now." And he goes to bed, wakes up, and it's February 3rd. Following Christ is not doing whatever we want or making our own rules, but it puts us straight into community. In a few moments, we will celebrate Holy Communion, where Jesus ate with the poor, the rich, and the outcasts. He became those he served. And he taught us that this is the kingdom on earth. May it be so. Amen.